Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell, and this is the season finale of Season 2 here at ProWrestling.net. We end up running this show during WrestleMania season, and it's been a lot of fun doing it. We just had a lot of WrestleMania week specials as well, and now it's time to go back to giving the members their raw audio exclusive commentary that'll take place after the show. And that doesn't mean we're done here on Blog Talk Radio or anything like that. We'll certainly be back for next WrestleMania season, and we'll be doing some live specials along the way as well. So if you haven't taken advantage of our membership special, you're just not a member, you enjoy visiting the free side of things, to each his own. I mean, we'd love to have you, but keep an eye out on ProWrestling.net because we will be doing these occasionally, maybe even a monthly deal. We'll see what happens, but I've definitely enjoyed doing it. But we're not done yet. I'm going to be joined tonight by John Moore, is returning. He was at WrestleMania yesterday, and we'll get his thoughts on that show as well as, of course, the night after Raw edition that we all just ended up watching. Well, every once in a while I'll hear from somebody, well, I didn't watch Raw, but I called into the show anyway. Most of us just finished watching. If you can't tell, I am very tired. So this could be a weird edition. It's live radio, and I'm having trouble keeping it together. Lack of sleep, folks. Let me see if I can find John, and maybe he can carry me through this show. If you want to join us tonight, all you have to do is call 773-897-6321. And if you get there and you're like, now what do I do because Blog Talk doesn't tell you, hit 1 on your touchtone phone. Not sure why Blog Talk hasn't changed that. Maybe they have by now. I'm not quite sure. I don't see John just yet in the queue, so we'll hold out for him. But you know what? In the meantime, let's start things off by going to, I assume this is Craig from Chicago. What's going on tonight, Craig?
You got it. How are you doing tonight?
Just hanging on by a thread, Craig. It's been a long. I don't know, 4 or 5 days, whatever it's been. It's all starting to run together now. But what's up?
Well, you'll get to sleep all the way till SummerSlam now, so you'll be okay.
Yeah, really.
I was pleasantly surprised with that WrestleMania. It had its ups, it had its downs. It definitely wasn't the best of all time, but it was a lot better than what I expected. I do feel Triple H's entrance was pretty stupid, you know, for what it's worth. The match I thought was pretty good with him and Sting, and then they just went ahead and made it a debacle out of it. And, you know, but I don't even think it's worth talking about. I feel like Roman Reigns showed that he actually belonged there last night. And I also feel like he was starting to win some of that crowd over when Seth Rollins came out to cash in his Money in the Bank. Now, as far as him winning the title that way, you know, I'm all for it. I understand it. You got to get the title off the part-time guy. I just feel like it felt flat.
Felt flat to you?
Yeah, it just felt flat for me because it's usually something you see at maybe an Extreme Rules or a Fully Loaded, one of those, you know, a secondary pay-per-view, not WrestleMania. So it kind of just, yeah.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. I think that's right. What made it special. I wouldn't want to see this on a regular basis, but I think it was largely unexpected. I mean, we knew it was one of the options available, but I thought it came off really well. And the WrestleMania crowd was hot for it. And I just thought booking-wise, it was the right move. I mean, just looking at things with, like you said, Brock and the part-time schedule and who knows when. He's going to be back after tonight and the suspension that they did. And then Reigns, it just wasn't time. So I like the move a lot, and I think it's the perfect way for Rollins' character to cash in, to win the championship, just because he is so wormy, you know? And so I thought it was well done.
Right. I have no problem with it at all. It's just for me personally, it just fell flat. I'm sure, you know, as time goes on, you know, I'll look back on it differently. But, you know, it's just, for me, it just fell flat. Now, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with Rollins as the champion being the cowardly heel. I mean, I think it's going to be a cool run. After we saw what Brock Lesnar did tonight, though, how can you not pony up the money for this man to give him some more dates? I mean, this guy is white hot right now, and this would equal major subscriptions to the network. It's just sometimes you just got to pay for talent to bring in subscriptions, you know. I mean, That crowd was insane for that moment.
The talent has to agree, though. You know, that he has to want to do more dates, and that can be tricky. Brock Lesnar, definitely a guy who values his downtime and, you know, goes on ESPN and boasts that he works a part-time schedule for full-time pay. And so, I mean, it takes two to tango when it comes to that. I think there were times last year when they could have paid him more to get more dates out of him, and for whatever reason they chose not to. But we don't know. I mean, he was there tonight, and it looks like they're writing him off for a while, but I still haven't confirmed one way or another if they've added more dates to this new deal, if we're going to see a little bit more of him. I wouldn't expect to see a lot more of him, but maybe. You never know.
Right. I mean, I just think this guy is through the roof right now, and you're just going to – man, sometimes you just got to – I'm sure he'd be all right if the money was there, you know, but – well, it is what it is, I guess. For anybody out there that's never been to a WrestleMania, I've been to three of them. I've been to WrestleMania 2, 13, and 22. And let me tell you something. WrestleMania 2 for me was the most special one because I was just a kid at that time. And seeing the British Bulldogs beat the Hammer and Brutus, it was just awesome with Ozzy in the corner and everything and that Battle Royal with the Bears players in there. They've priced me out of WrestleMania now, but for anybody, if anybody out there's got the money, definitely go to a WrestleMania. It's worth it.
All right, cool, man. Was that it for tonight?
That's all I have until next season.
All right, sounds good, man. It was good to hear from you. And, yeah, I mean, I really liked the title change last night, but everybody is entitled to their own opinion on it. But I think most people seem to be pretty satisfied with the way everything played out. I thought it was a hell of a main event, and I was pleasantly surprised by the performance of Roman Reigns. Granted, a lot of it was just taking an ass-kicking from Brock Lesnar, but, he took a beating. He gained some respect along the way. I did not expect tonight's live crowd just to suddenly embrace him from it. But I think a good story was told there. And I thought, even though he has a limited moveset, all those same issues are still there that were there going into Mania that we had concerns with. I thought that limited moveset he made the most of at down the stretch with some really good, believable near falls that had everybody I know in my living room that was over for the show on the edge of their seat. So I really enjoyed the WrestleMania main event. I thought WrestleMania as a whole was just a very pleasant surprise as well. I just enjoyed WrestleMania, mostly from start to finish. Craig touched on it, was not a fan of the nonsense with the NWO and DX and what the Sting and Triple H match became. I thought they were on their way to having a pretty damn satisfying match. And I wasn't expecting greatness. I wasn't expecting, you know, Triple H and Taker, something like that. But I thought they were doing a fine job. And I just didn't like the fact that the NWO, and it didn't make any damn sense. And then Triple H shakes his hand afterward, and Sting accepts after being hit in the head with a sledgehammer like a minute earlier. The whole thing was just so weird. But that was one of the only negatives about the show, in my opinion. I enjoyed so much of it. Undertaker's performance, it was cool to see him looking the part again. He just he looked healthy. He looked so much healthier than he did the year before, and I enjoyed it. My co-host tonight is .NET staffer, the newest .NET staffer, John Moore. He was in attendance at WrestleMania. John, did you enjoy yourself at WrestleMania 31? I haven't had really much of a chance to chat with you about it.
No problem, and it's good to be on the show. I did enjoy WrestleMania a lot. I remember you saying a while ago that you wanted to try to get me press credentials, but I would have preferred not to because it was pretty fun enjoying it like as a fan and in the crowd enjoying like just the fan interaction. And there were some funny and interesting fan moments in the crowd as well.
Yeah, there always are. I mean, tonight, you can really hear them the night after Raw. I think so many of those fans, it's like all the super fans just make sure they get tickets to the night after Raw. And I know there was at one point they listed the return date for Raw, and there was a loud chant of "We don't live here" at the show tonight. And so it just kind of goes to show you just how many of those people are there for WrestleMania weekend. WrestleMania itself, they're a little more spread out, but, I mean, you can still hear them. Maybe not as loud and clear as you could on the pay-per-view or on Raw tonight, but, I mean, definitely a vocal bunch. And just overall with WrestleMania, I mean, what stood out to you? Give me the top three things on your WrestleMania list.
That's going to be tough because, like, just to combine it all into one, what stood out the most was how they, WWE kept delivering in their segments this throughout. The only things that didn't catch the crowd was New Day And like several of the people that people didn't care about during the IC title match, WWE just kept catching people, and they did deflate everyone a little while after the Triple H match, but they recovered even after that. So just to combine it all into one, I believe just WWE kept delivering in every single segment.
It was just a lot of fun. I wish tonight's show, it really peaked with the Lesnar thing, and it was good before that. I'm like, wow, this is a hot show, and then they create this chaos with Lesnar taking out the broadcast team. I'm guessing like that table, that broadcast table. I don't know what else, who plays at the SAP Center. If it's the, I believe it's the San Jose Sharks. They may have to skate around that because apparently that thing can't be tilted back upwards. They may have to get a crane in there to lift the broadcast table out. That thing sat tilted over the entire time. But once they do all that and it's like just chaos and it's like wow, but it's good chaos. You know, like all right, what's going on? Byron Saxton comes out. And he just stands there, and he's calling the show, kind of using the somber tone. I don't know. For me, John, I'm watching this going, this would definitely work better if it was a broadcast team that were well-liked. I mean, I think, by and large, people like Booker T, and I think they enjoy giving Michael Cole hell. I don't think they really truly despise any of those people, but I don't think there's any, like, oh my God! Like if Jim Ross or Gordon Soley had been attacked by Brock Lesnar, it was kind of a amen, get these guys the hell out of here moment for me.
And that's what it seemed like with the crowd too. But the crowd really hated Michael Cole, or just going from the Mania crowd at least, he got a lot of heat. Where you know like JBL got pops. Going back to this past Raw, the show kind of really died. Almost in a way, like when Saxton started taking that very somber tone, and he wouldn't talk, and I can't believe what Vince is producing him in the background, but they had to send Jerry Lawler out there to energize the show again.
Yeah, he I didn't think Saxton was very good here. I don't think he's the right guy for this either. I think Tom Phillips does a nice job on commentary, and when he's like just kind of left alone by Vince McMahon, and so maybe Saxton would be better if under the same circumstances. But I didn't think Saxton brought a whole lot of life to it, and I didn't think the rest of the show had a lot of life to it. It just kind of we hit that marathon time, where I knew. You know, I personally, after watching as much wrestling as I did this weekend, including the Hall of Fame and all that, the people that were actually there in attendance, they're having fun. They're chanting all sorts of things. But I thought they were doing a nice job of just keeping those fans engaged. It wasn't like they didn't have their moments during some of the earlier matches. But as time went on, they just started losing the people, and I couldn't blame the fans for just starting to humor themselves again. I mean, you gave them Big Show and Kane in the main event. John, it's almost like they wanted that reaction.
Probably. They didn't even, like, because they put all the good moments, all the crowd-controlling moments at the beginning of the show, especially with, Stephanie. Stephanie's getting good at controlling that crowd to do, like, to eat at the palm of her hand, essentially. And, it peaked at the beginning, then just sort of, it was a good show, but again, with that commentary, I think it kind of, like, distracted a little bit. We got some debuts. We got, like, Adrian Neville, Lucha Dragons, though. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I like that. We got the return of Sheamus, and I know people are having fun with his appearance, and to that I just say, the man's a heel, if everyone was going, wow, look at him, it's like, well, he's a heel, and so I, if he had this same appearance and was returning as a babyface, I'd be like, wow, Houston, we've got a problem here, but he's a heel, and so I thought he really showed veteran poise when the crowd, turned on him for that and started chanting, you look stupid, where I think some guys would have done the bromance, indie, hold the hand over the ears and just kind of give into the crowd and, act like show them it's bothering you. He just motions for bring it on. I like that. I thought he showed good poise there. There's not many things you can do in that situation. He handled it well. But I personally don't know what you think, John. I think he looks kind of like a badass, a little bit more deranged. And I, if nothing else, I'm happy he didn't just get the return of the same old Sheamus.
Same thought here. And what I had the same thought in the sense that, yeah, this is something fresh because he's made several returns in the past. And I believe is because they just kept rewriting him and rewriting him, not knowing what to do with him. So, yes, I thought this freshened things up a little bit. And what I was hoping for, and hopefully they just keep on with it, is keep actual storylines in the IC title division. While also, and the same thing with Cena's title as well.
Let's, it's that time again.
Yes.
Wow. Kind of an emotional moment knowing that it's going to be, well, at least a matter of weeks until we do our next live show, I'm sure. But it's the one, the only, on Double Secret Probation, .NET member Rabbit. How are you this evening, Rabbit?
I'm fine. Hey, in the chat room, Dave is asking, why did they book that six-man for that crowd?
I don't know, Rabbit. I mean, I was wondering, when they did the mystery man angle, I'm like, all right, it's probably Reigns, but... You know, maybe they've got something up their sleeve and they're just going to keep Reigns away from this crowd. They didn't. They put him out there, which is fine. But the idea that you have, I thought they were really flirting with disaster too by having Ryback out there. I was surprised he was as over with that crowd as he was. I was just saying earlier today in a Q&A that he's really over. You go to a house show or just a SmackDown taping even, and a lot of Raws, he's over. You get him in front of a crowd like that, you never know, especially since CM Punk didn't have good things to say about him, and we all know how that crowd feels about Punk. But, you had Big Show and Kane out there. They're chanting, please retire at Big Show. He was prepared for it because he got the same treatment at a recent NXT show in Ohio, and I wish he could have done what he did there, which is take the mic and brag that he was going to sign another 10-year guaranteed contract. He completely turned the crowd in his favor in Ohio. They were chanting 10 more years by the time it was over, which is pretty hilarious. But it wasn't my ideal main event, that's for sure, Rabbit. But I for all I know, that's the crowd reaction. They wanted to capture some of that on their show. They wanted that rowdy crowd doing the wave, chanting all sorts of things. That's the only thing I can think of, Rabbit.
Hey, John, how's it going in Berkeley?
It's going well over here. I'm sort of going between L.A. and Berkeley right now, and it's pretty fun, yes. But, of course, I went to school at Cal. That was the thing. But, yeah, thanks for asking.
I'm just glad that our Golden Gophers beat your Cal Bears in softball.
Okay. Yes, I'll give you that one. No problem. It's softball.
I'm sure you're devastated. Rabbit, what else is on your mind?
Oh, I have a question for you both of you. How can you handle talking to Boris when he goes off and keeps talking?
You know, Boris called me off the air and he was like, how can you stand talking to Rabbit when he just starts talking? Rabbit, are you there?
I'm there.
Oh, okay. I enjoy talking with Boris. I get a kick out of it. Boris is entertaining. You entertain me. All the callers entertain me in their own special way.
Oh, okay, because I noticed that when Boris calls into the other show, the one with the other show you do on Tuesdays.
The PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. Every Tuesday I'm on the show. There you go. That one, Rabbit?
Yeah, that's the one. And I noticed that you don't like to talk to Boris.
I don't control the switchboard on that one, man. I enjoy talking with Boris, and it's hard to say because there's a lot of numbers from 773 we get, but we may be hearing from Boris a little bit later tonight, and we'll see what he has to say about you, Rabbit.
My last question was about Ray Stevens.
There we go. Iconic in the chat room is going to be thrilled.
Huh?
Iconic in the chat room is going to be thrilled, Rabbit. He was hoping you would bring up Ray Stevens. Go for it.
That's why I did it. I'm pretty sure, if I'm right, that there's a chance he might get in Texas. But I'm looking, if Texas is going to be next year, there's no question. It has to be the Freebirds.
Freebirds next year, yes.
And the Ray Stevens.
Well, let me tell you the one thing about Ray Stevens, Rabbit. I may have mentioned this to you before, but, I mean, hey, California is where he's most known for. But he did have some history here in the Twin Cities, and there's a lot of talk that we may be getting WrestleMania 33 up here. Whether it turns out to be 33 or a future WrestleMania, I think Minneapolis is in play with that new stadium and some heavy hitters that want to bring WrestleMania to town. So maybe there.
Yeah, if you get it in the Twin Cities, which I'm hoping you will, then, yeah, there's so many guys from the AWA I want to see, Crusher. I want to see Dick DeRuiser. There's just so many guys that were in the AWA that deserve it. Who would you have from the AWA come in Minnesota? Mean Gene?
Well, I tell you, at the lack of sleep, it's going to be, I'm sure I'm going to leave someone out. But I tell you one guy that you mentioned a couple of them. Well, you mentioned one of Crusher, if he's not in. Basically, with the Hall of Fame, I'm so wide open now. When, you know, with some of the people they've inducted, it's just like, all right, who do they feel like honoring this year? Randy Savage is in, and we can point to some others that are certainly deserving that haven't made the cut yet. But I mentioned this a while back on one of the live shows we did. I'd like to see Baron Von Raschke get in. And it's not, has he had the most legendary career of all time? No, but he meant a hell of a lot in this area. He still shows up at independent shows, and he's just a strike. I don't know the man very well at all. I think I've shook his hand, basically. But everyone I've come in contact with that's worked with him on the local independent scene has nothing but good things to say about Baron Von Raschke. I just remember how popular he was with as the Claw Master here. And then, of course, going back before that, he was a heel. So a long career in the industry, and really sounds like an all-around good guy. He's still around, which I think is key. So I wouldn't expect him to be the headliner of the Hall of Fame, but I'd like to see him get in, rather.
Okay, about him. You remember his catchphrase?
And that is all the people need to know.
You remembered. Yeah.
Of course. I grew up on the Baron.
Yeah. And too bad you couldn't do the accent when you said that.
Too late for that. And that is all the people need to know from Rabbit. Rabbit, thank you so much for calling, bud. It's good to hear from you. Up now, by the way, if you want to join us, 773-897-6321. And just hit one on your touchtone phone once you get on there, and then you will be all queued up and ready to go. 305, who is this? Where are you calling from?
What's up, guys? DJ from Miami.
Hey, what's going on tonight, DJ?
I got two things and a comment. The first thing is, well, before the comment, I don't think I heard Arnold saying he loves his mom. But, okay, here we go. The first thing is, did you see Gray Wyatt? That was my comment. I don't think I saw him. And my first thing is, they said that Michael Cole got hurt. Do you think now that he's going to hurt, do you think Jerry Lawler is going to go back to Monday and Michael Cole will go Tuesdays to SmackDown? And my second thing is, do you think, I don't understand, why would they bring out Ambrose with Cena? They're two baby faces, and that made no sense. I mean, he was supposed to go after Bryan's belt, not Cena's belt. That confused me. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, sounds great. Thank you so much, DJ. I think the second one is pretty easy, so I can cover that one. I think they wanted to have Cena out there with a guy that would be cheered in Ambrose, and they positioned it well. It was an open challenge, and so anybody could come out there and do it. You know, that was I was wondering what the logic was there. What if they had an angle in mind? If it was going to be Rusev, or what was going to happen there? And but once it was Ambrose, it was like, oh, okay. So Cena's, you know, they know he's going to get booed by this crowd, so if you put him in there with another heel, do you want that heel being cheered, or do you want to put him in there with a babyface and Ambrose, where a babyface can be cheered? So I think that was the mindset on that. And then John, are you reading anything into the Cole injury angle as being a sign that somehow Jerry Lawler comes back to Raw on Mondays?
Then who would do play-by-play? Brian Saxton? No, but I don't think that's the case. It's probably just more of an angle to show Brock Lesnar's viciousness. Just on a side note, I used to be a fan of Byron Saxton when he was teamed up with Wade Barrett on FCW commentary. And we got to see an engaged Wade Barrett on commentary tonight. So that's just a side note. Saxton works good with the right person, but tonight he was kind of dead. But no, I we brought Lawler back to Raw, then who would do play-by-play, and what kind of formula would we get?
Yeah, exactly. If they want to shake up the broadcast team, they don't need to do a giant injury angle. I mean, they just shook him up by moving Booker, you know, and moving Lawler over to SmackDown in the first place. So they'll just, I mean, you could set something up if you wanted to, like, if a broadcast team member was leaving, but we certainly haven't heard that about Michael Cole. John, would you be shocked if Michael Cole is miraculously back at the SmackDown taping tomorrow? I mean, it's 3 days away, and I mean, I'd like to see him sell this longer, but Michael Cole is all over their television shows all the time.
Of course, he's their, quote, workhorse. I'm not, have you heard anything? Does he want to do this, or is this just WWE wanting to make him the, quote, voice of WWE?
I've never heard anything about him, like, venting to people. I don't spend a lot of time asking about Michael Cole, I have to be honest with you, but I mean, he was all over WrestleMania, the live specials they did as well, and so I don't get the sense that he's objecting to it, but I wish they would just rein him in a little bit. I think it would be good for him to be on one show a week, and if nothing else, I hope we get a different broadcast team. If it's as simple as the one we got tonight on SmackDown, it's Brock Lesnar. He's positioned as, like, their baddest man on the planet, basically. And so when he hits an F5 on a broadcast team member, he better not be back, even if it is, like, you know, it airs Thursday. That's just not enough time. So hopefully they at least have him sell this a bit. And we'll see if there's more to the story. Is it just me, or, apparently that table's really heavy that they couldn't move it, but the broadcast table managed to knock Jerry Lawler and JBL off of commentary the rest of the show? That was it?
The camera shot of it was very cool, though. But, yeah, yes, it was strange because when they showed the replays, it looked completely safe because all he did was flip it to his side and Booker and JBL just fell down. But they even released a medical report later on. And then that medical report said JBL and Booker were fine, and Michael Cole had cervical damage.
Didn't the rest? My God, really? They said cervical damage after Perro Aguayo Jr.?
They did.
Tell
me
they did.
They did.
Oh my God!
They said it twice. Saxton did it in a somber voice. Then they cut to Lawler, I believe, reading a script, repeating the same words.
Oh, man, I completely missed that. That's terrible. Use better judgment. Shame on them. Let's see who's up now. 740, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Michael from Ohio.
Michael from Ohio, what's going on tonight?
Hey, I wanted to comment on that when that guy just said about, what was he saying, cervical?
The wrestler's name is Perro Aguayo Jr., and he had a cervical spine injury that caused his death.
Oh, I see. I just had a question to ask you. Did you hear anything about, I heard that Austin was supposed to be at WrestleMania, and he actually wasn't there, and the rumor is that him and Vince had an issue, something about with his podcast going back on the network.
I don't know exactly what's going on there. I need to do some, I'm going to ask around about that. Austin has his podcast. Our buddy Wade Keller is going to be on there. It was recorded today and will be available tomorrow, I believe, is the plan. And so let's see what Austin has to say. Let's see, you know, come in, if he addresses this or not. But, yeah, the buzz is that Jericho is basically replacing him in that role. You know, they usually do Austin, have Austin in for the interviews. And for whatever reason, Jericho's doing it. So I don't know the specifics on it. I don't know if what they wanted him to do at WrestleMania. I didn't think much of it when he said he wouldn't be there. He was just there last year. But it sounds like there's something going on, so we'll keep an eye on it. But do you have more for me, Michael?
Yeah, well, what did you think about the Hall of Fame Saturday?
I thought it was a solid show. I really liked Medusa's speech, for instance. I thought Lanny Poffo did a nice job. You never really know what you're going to get with Lanny because he's just a unique individual. He's a quirky character, but I thought he nailed it. I thought he was great, and it was longer than it needed to be. I mean, they had more people than they needed going in this year. For some reason, they had, I think it was 9. But, John, your thoughts on the Hall of Fame ceremony?
I actually only caught, clips of it. And my best reaction of it was from the WrestleMania crowd. So now something that like WWE, I'm guessing they're gonna pull out when like at the house shows again. You know that the Connor McCulloch moment. It touches everyone. every time they show that screen, he got when they ran through the Hall of Famers. Him and Macho got the two biggest moments, like the biggest pops from the crowd. And I believe with Larry Zbyszko getting the smallest one. But overall, yes, I also agree. They also draw a lot of attention to the Medusa belt thing.
Yeah, they overstated that. I mean, I guess if you're ever going to overstate it, now's the time. But she was really good. But I think they made it. That was the shot that started the Monday Night War, and it was just like, okay, it was a moment, and it wasn't. People talked about it, but it just wasn't as big of a deal as they're trying to make it seem like right now. And but she handled it well. She did a great job. I love the way she covered her entire career. I'm sure there's somebody she left out somewhere along the way, but you know, like Zbyszko basically just focused on his friendship with Bruno Sammartino. Didn't talk at all about the AWA, even though he was married to Vern Gagne's daughter and wore the AWA championship. And then he had Rikishi, who didn't even bother to mention Too Cool, which was really strange. But Medusa was thanked a number of people, went throughout her career, both you know WWE, WCW, AWA, Japan. She was all over, and she did it in a very entertaining way. I thought she was great. Did you have more for me, Michael?
No, I just wanted to tell you I really enjoy your show, and I can't wait until next year when you come back on.
All right, very cool. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And keep an eye out for those live specials that I'm sure we'll be doing, as we just did over WrestleMania weekend. I'm guessing most of them will be on Monday night. And so just keep an eye out sometime during the day on ProWrestling.net. Take a look and see if we're doing a live show that night. Or, better yet, you can continue to listen to a Raw audio review. You can listen to the .NET Weekly audio show. You can listen to the 94-minute audio review of WrestleMania 31, easy for me to say, that Will Pruitt and I did last night. Will was in the press box at the show, and I was watching the network, so we kind of got the best of both worlds on that show. And we also have the show that Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt do together called the Pretentious Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's not that pretentious, but don't tell them I said that. And we have reviews of all the major television shows in audio form as well. It's an ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. And if you're going, this again, I'm going to zone out for a second, wake up, because it's $3 for 1 month of .NET membership right now. Go to the main page of ProWrestling.net. Look for ProWrestling.net membership sale in the news section. It'll be in the must-read section as well if you're checking out the actual website. And once you go in there, you're going to find your coupon code. If it's as simple as the $3 for 1 month, it's SALE31MONTH. That's it. But you can go there and find that. And then there's also a price break on our six-month and our annual membership. $27 is the price for 6 months. You're going to save $12 off your usual six-month rate, and the annual is all the way down to $45 for a full year of ad-free access to ProWrestling.net, all the audio content we have, and much more. You're going to save $21 off of our usual rate. This is expiring this week. We do not do these specials very often at all. As I keep saying, I'm not like Kohl's, where every day like they have 5,000 things on sale and try to tell you that, hey, this T-shirt was once $50, but you're saving $25. And you're still paying, what, $25 for a T-shirt? Really? But anyway, check out all the details again on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Just look for ProWrestling.net membership sale and take advantage of that while you can. It's going to be expiring here in the next couple of days. We would love to have you on board. And if you enjoyed this show, I know you will enjoy all the audio content that we provide at ProWrestling.net. And if you have any questions on any of that, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. All right, next up in line, let's see, that was 740, and who's, there he is, 678 is up next, and if I can get the switchboard to cooperate, there we go. Welcome to the show. Who's this?
Oh, what's going on, Jason? This is Ryan Deacon from Atlanta.
Hey, what's going on, man?
I watched Monday Night Raw, and I just watched about WrestleMania yesterday.
Cool.
But before I start answering the questions, I got to say, Ronda Rousey knows how to throw Triple H out of the ring.
She did a good job with that. And, John, I think all she has to do is stand there and scowl, and people go, start reaching for their wallet, going, I need to see her fight someone.
Mm-hmm. That drew a lot of attention.
Yeah, she does a great job with that. Go ahead, Randy.
Anyway, the way how Sheamus looked when we returned, I had to disagree with you because, I mean, before he got that mohawk, he looked like the face of Slim Jim for a few years. Right now, it's just went straight up to a mohawk. And the only people that only was good in the mohawk, no homo, but I got to say, only Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore can kill it with a mohawk.
Hold on here. Did you say what I think you said? All right, Randy, thank you. I don't know if you said what I think you said, but if you did, shame on you. He's a heel. I don't think you have to go, wow, that heel looks nice. I think not every heel needs to look like Roman Reigns, where you'd like, wow, look at him. He has pretty hair and nice eyes. Not every heel has to look that way. And if you said what I think you said, wow, that's all I can say. And if you didn't, sorry I heard you wrong. It's been a long week, man. Up now is, this could be the rebuttal to Rabbit if it's him. But like I said, we get a lot of people from 773. Which one is this?
This is Boris from Chicago.
Oh,
hey,
go ahead. Yeah, like, go fire back
Rabbit.
At Rabbit, man.
I'm going to no-sell Rabbit.
you're taking the high road.
Right, I'm a no-sell Rabbit. It was so much going on this week, you know, with wrestling, that I'm just going to no-sell him and not tear nothing up.
Well, cool. What's on your mind, Boris?
These guys, they wrestle so hard. Can anybody come out and sell something? I mean, you know, I would love to see someone bandaged up a little bit or something and not go out and give 100% in a second match when you just, you know, you came out of a ladder match or something like that, you know. I mean, I watched the other programs, and, you know, they're still patched up right now, even though they, you know, they're doing strong style. But they're selling that, you know, this stuff, they're taking hits.
Well, I know you're the New Japan guy, Boris, and I watched the Wrestle Kingdom show, and I haven't seen any of it since, but I know that, like, the show after Wrestle Kingdom, the guys that were in the main event, Tanahashi and Okada, didn't they both go on to lose at the next show to sell just the type of fight that they were in?
Yes.
I'd like to see more of that mentality brought to WWE. They don't operate that way. I mean, on one hand, let me turn it over to John here. Were you as surprised as I was that Dean Ambrose was even out there tonight? It wasn't that if he had been selling, it would have made sense, like Boris is saying. But this guy looked like he was basically knocked out of that match because of the ladder spot that he did, where he landed on his head. And I had somebody on Twitter say, I think he was doing that to explain why he didn't come out to save Seth Rollins. I don't know how you fake landing head first on a rung of a ladder and then hitting the ground head first and not having it hurt.
Exactly. This seems to be a constant problem with the Raw writing team, I would assume. I believe you mentioned this a couple weeks ago when we were on the live show. You attended a event, the house show after Seth Rollins got murderized by Randy Orton. And on the Sunday, he said he was bandaged up and selling that injury. Yet the next night on Raw, I even commented, I said he better have tape under that black thing he wears, and he didn't. It was strange.
Yeah, Boris, you raise a very fair point there. They definitely should do more, especially for – I thought Reigns could have – they're telling us, for people who didn't see Mania, Boris, they're talking about this beating that Brock Lesnar gave Roman Reigns, and we're supposed to respect Reigns more because of it, and then he just goes out there and he works a standard match. It's just like nothing happened, nothing to see here.
And I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with this guy, you know, far as why people don't like him. Especially tonight, I mean, my jaw dropped. I was not expecting to really go in on him like that. But when you go out there and you don't come out, you got to, you know, you just been in a battle. Somebody please sell. I mean, I understand. I don't know. I'm not going to understand. But I was looking for him to do some changing, you know, so someone can like him. I don't understand him. I don't understand that character. I don't know what he's supposed to be because he's so big, and I guess he's supposed to be a face. I'm trying to figure out. He can't be Hogan style, you know, the Hogan-type character. He can't do that. I mean, maybe you guys can help me out. What type of character is Roman Reigns? Because he's too big, you know, as far as how did he get over?
Well, you cool, know, man. Thank you for the call. I think, John, I feel like they did everything that they could have done last night for the direction they took. If you're not going to just turn him all-out heel, which watching that match last night, I was still wondering late in the match, is something going to happen here? What's going on? And they didn't. And I think the idea was that Brock's going to beat this guy senseless. He's going to show heart. He's going to laugh it off, which he was. I mean, Heyman brought that up in his promo tonight. He's taking all these suplexes, and then he would start laughing. And even Brock was looking at him like, wow, what the hell's wrong with this guy? And so I think they showed this guy has tremendous heart. This guy can take punishment. But I knew he wasn't getting over with the WrestleMania, night after WrestleMania crowd. It's not this crowd. It's what happens going forward now. And what we saw tonight was just too much business as usual. But I want to hear what this guy has to say. John, I think it's a shame we have to wait until SmackDown at the earliest, but maybe even next week before we find out.
But I'm not sure if you thought of this, but Boris does bring up a good point with the whole Roman Reigns situation. Especially knowing that the crowd was going to, you know, the WrestleMania crowd came in with, like, this almost like an agenda just to straight up boo Reigns every time they see his image on the screen, and that's what it was last night as well. What did you think of them not, because, like, this was a good chance to maybe just hide Reigns for a while, maybe have him sell the beating that Lesnar gave him?
I didn't think they needed to have him in the main event. I wonder if it's just... They don't want. They kind of want to take the Cena approach, where if you don't have him out there in some capacity on this show, you just, even if after that match you say he's injured, I think you get every jaded internet fan out there going, "Oh, BS! They just didn't want to have him out there. They're worried he's going to get booed. They're protecting him." And you undo some of whatever it was they did last night, which may turn out to be nothing. The fans just may have their heels dug in to the point that what they did last night doesn't matter. But if you don't, I just fear that if you did win some people over, they're like, wow, that was pretty damn good. This guy was in the WrestleMania main event, and he delivered on his end. He did a really good job. But you don't have him on Raw in front of that crowd. You get what I'm saying, John? Where all of a sudden that fan is going, oh, they're just protecting this guy, and we're right back to square one with him.
Exactly, but it almost comes off as they kind of booked themselves into a corner with the guy. But to just go back to another fan experience from last night is after Roman Reigns' first spear, that's when the crowd actually started getting into him. Like, you know, like he was this fighter like who just got beaten, because they gave him a sort of similar to the Cena treatment at SummerSlam. But, yeah, I mean, especially with this crowd, you can't convince them otherwise. And, you know, anyway, they might just complain about whatever you feed them anyway.
Well, I'll say this about the night after Raw crowd. You know, they're a very passionate bunch. They're spending, you know, this is their big vacation of the year for many of them. They're going out to this event. They're super fans, and they get together and they're going to have their fun. You know, they're going to boo the Roman Reigns and John Cena's and whoever else they want to have their fun with. And you're not going to get them out of that mode. It's just not going to happen. What happens when those people go home and they kind of split up a little bit? You know, do they? I'm guessing that some of the people there tonight that were having a lot of fun at the expense of Reigns might be going home, going, you know, we'll see. Again, many people might have their heels dug in on this one, and no matter what this guy does, they're just not going to respond. But I just, John, you can't tell me that watching that main event, it was better than I think anyone envisioned it would be. And some level of respect, even if people don't want to admit it, had to be earned there. He earned some respect for me for his performance in that main event. That's for sure.
He did. And but what also protected him a little bit, and this was the Mania crowd as well. Ryback for the last couple of days and last night, he's been over huge with the Mania crowd. I even have a nice, interesting story about one of the kids I was talking to and his interaction with Ryback in person on the bus. Not sure if you want to hear it, but it was like Ryback to the crowd comes off like he's like a wrestling fan, and people are into Feed Me More, and I, for some reason something's working with the guy.
It's strange because this was the crowd that hated him, you know, and then CM Punk really went public with that Ryback is reckless in the ring. And once he did that, I think a lot of us thought, oh boy, the people cheering Dolph Ziggler the loudest are really going to turn on him. And they did for a couple of weeks there, but no, he is very popular. You go to a house show, he's one of the most over guys there. I didn't think he'd be so over with the WrestleMania crowd, but sounds like he was. That's cool.
It was huge. Ziggler got the mute reaction in one of the mutest reactions of the night, which kind of shocked me. I was scouting out reactions and stuff, and yeah.
So now, the kid on the bus story, what was that all about?
Oh no, that's interesting. No, it was just there was this kid on the bus. He was a Cena fan. He was dressed fully decked in Cena clothing and stuff, and some anti-Cena people were hating on him. And then I was just talking to them, you know, and then I stopped them. And what happened was this kid on the bus told me, he says, he's a very smart wrestling fan. Then we start talking about Ryback with other people on the bus. And he says, the kid goes, Ryback's a very nice guy. When I got off my bus to come here, Ryback was getting off wherever they do to get into the stadium, and Ryback walked up to him and signed his title and gave him a Ryback shirt. It was pretty cool.
All right, 3252, you're up. Who's this? Where are you calling from? 352, are you there?
Uh-oh, we lost him.
For some reason, it shows he's there, but the whole time, hey, 352, I'll give you one more chance. Going once, twice, gone. We tried 352. That might be the number that fell asleep on us once before. If it is, at least he's not snoring this time. 862, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Patrick from Nutley, New Jersey.
How are you tonight, Patrick?
Good, good, good. Before you were talking about the announcers and what you think they're going to do, I'm thinking they're probably going to lean towards perhaps bringing Heyman to fill in for the announce position while Lesnar's away. I think that may be a logical short-term move. If not, I think they've been pushing hard for Renee Young to step into the main announce booth, and this would be a nice way to transition for her in the short term, at least to give her a audition of sorts for the position.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they have in mind. I mean, the Heyman idea, that is kind of the tricky part. With Brock being a babyface now, because he is, and I'm looking at the Cole story, yes, possible cervical fracture. Really, WWE? All those people working for you, and not one of them thought, this is a really bad idea. A wrestler just died in Mexico, and a very well-publicized story. You can pick any number of fake injuries for Michael Cole, and you pick possible cervical fracture. I don't know. With Heyman being a babyface now, I think it becomes a little bit trickier with Brock away. You know, when he's a heel, you can always have him bad-mouthing whoever Lesnar's going to face next, or just sticking his nose in something backstage. You can, you know, for a while there, they were doing interesting things with him and Seth Rollins, even though they weren't really building up to much of anything. There's always something for a heel Paul Heyman to stick his nose into. Babyface Paul Heyman, it's a little bit tougher. So, yeah that's I guess it's worth keeping an eye on. John, I just have no idea where this is going and how long Michael Cole's going to be out of action.
Exactly. And sorry.
Jason, can you still hear me for one second?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say one more point because I knew both to talk about this. My point is, wouldn't the whole angle be with Heyman about coming in because he feels the authority is responsible for this happening to him? So that would be his transition to a babyface announcer, like finally somebody speaking out against the authority from the announce booth, like standing up and saying this is wrong. Basically, he's not really doing it for the fans per se. It just fits his narrative which is, you know, the authority's got to be stopped. He's speaking up against them, so he's going to bring logic and sense to the position. That would be like his angle behind the booth, even if it's just for like a 2 week or 3 week to sell Cole's injury, so to speak. That was the point I was trying to make, too. I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt you, go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me jump in here, John, because I think the issue I'm seeing with this, and help me out here, John, if you know a way around it. Once you bring the authority in, if he's speaking out against them, John, why would they put him in that role in the first place, and why wouldn't they just cut his mic the second he did?
Look what Triple H did to Booker T. They could do something like that to Paul Heyman if they wanted to. But
well, I mean, that would have to happen immediately, and then, well, what was the point of having him on commentary in the first place? You know what I'm saying? It's just,
exactly.
Storyline-wise, it's a little bit tricky.
And he won't gain any sympathy from it. But going back to like the suggestions with the Michael Cole injury, with Michael Cole being hurt, what a lot of the like inside a lot of our callers are giving us seem to be more color commentators. But the hole that Cole would leave would be more so for a play-by-play guy. And right now, WWE doesn't have a very solid. They do have some pretty decent good ones. Tom Phillips isn't bad, and Rich Brennan is pretty good as well. He sometimes misses some moves, but he at least calls moves too. But again, the hole that Cole would be leaving would more so be a play-by-play hole. And Byron Saxton didn't do that good of a job tonight. Again, sorry to pick on
the
guy.
Well, and with Rich Brennan, I think he's fine for, you know, because it's developmental. And Rich Brennan is still, I would say, at the developmental phase of his broadcasting career. And I like what he's doing. I think he's jumped out since day one. You can tell he's a fan of this. But you're right. I mean, he's just, there's some moves and things like that. I don't think they should feel comfortable with him yet as like the voice. But maybe, you know, a guy like a Phillips would be the answer. But Patrick, we might just be wasting a lot of time talking about this because it's WWE and they do weird things, and we could see Michael Cole back on SmackDown.
Yeah, no, I know that can happen, but I think, like I said, I know you're probably right, but for once, like based on yesterday, they actually saw that they have the ability to follow through on certain things and actually do what's right for the fans or actually hear the fans. So you never know. Yesterday was a chance that we all got to believe that sometimes they can get things right, and for the most part they did. So that's why I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they can stretch it out for at least one more week of getting it right.
Cool. And I should point out, so I just kind of glanced at the forum much earlier tonight, and somebody made note of the fact that WWE is heading overseas. Now, they do have next week's show they're still in town for, or in the States. They're in Texas, I believe it is, next week. And so it's like you'd think they would do an angle if for some reason Cole wasn't going overseas on this trip. I don't think it's anything Jeff Hardy-like, but it's just for whatever reason, if he was not going overseas, you'd think they would wait until then, but they don't. Obviously, they don't have access to Brock Lesnar next week, so I can't rule that out. I thought there was interesting speculation when I read that earlier. But like I said, we might be wasting a lot of time talking about Cole. It may turn out to be like, well, God only knows what it is with WWE and why they did this angle, but I just hope he sells it a decent amount of time. But you're right, John, about the color commentators. If they're saying those guys are fine, then we don't necessarily need to find a Paul Heyman or whoever it may be to fill in. That was just 862. I'll go back to 352 because he did wait a while. 352, were you there this time? All right, 352's done. That's it. We tried. 847, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Jason, it's Sean from the land of Boris.
How you doing tonight?
Yeah, and you're a fellow diehard Viking fan, buddy.
All right, good to hear that.
Called you a few weeks ago, and when Fritz gave me a hard time about being a Viking fan. Too bad, I live in Chi-Town, and I'm a diehard Vike. So what? That's the way it goes. So.
And if memory serves, in the last, I don't know what the all-time record is. It's probably not pretty for us, but the Vikings beat the Bears in the last time we played them. If memory serves.
I was at that game. I make two. I usually get up there for two games a year, and I always make the Bear Viking game. I never see a game here because I hate the Bear fans, but I always drive up to Minnie for the Viking Bear game. So,
cool. Now, what's on your mind wrestling wise tonight, man?
All right, two wrestling comments, and this is going to even aggravate you more about the Michael Cole injury angle. After they announced that, I promise you, Twitter blew up like you couldn't believe. with just negativity about why would they, like you just said before, so many injuries they could have chosen, and they choose that one. Then, to make matters worse, now you know they're very keen on their social media. They're watching it. They know what's going on. An hour later, Jerry Lawler in his, I hate to say this, but in his Owen Hart, you know, serious voice, talked about the same injury with Michael Cole an hour later, after Twitter literally blew up the first time. And, you know, WWE did so much right this weekend with the Hall of Fame, the WrestleMania, Raw tonight, and then they dropped the ball with that. It blows my mind. It really does. It blows my mind. And I have one more comment.
That is so bad, man. I sometimes I just get caught up in the show and I start to zone out the broadcast team. I've said it a million times, and it's a shame I did tonight because I would have been happy to light them up in live coverage. But so thanks for pointing all that out. What a mess. But you said you had more.
Yeah. For some reason, I must be the only guy that's freaked out by this. I called the Torch guys last night. I called, you know, James Caldwell, and you know, when he does his stuff, a live show. I like James, nice guy, but. And he was receptive to this, but why am I the only guy freaked out that Brock Lesnar bladed last night? Now, I don't think he bled Hardway. You know, he bled Hardway in the opening of the match, but I got to assume he bladed at the end. And I can't remember for the life of me the last time the WWE had a guy blade. I mean, it's been years since the PG era. And
I don't know if he did or didn't. That's one of the things I was hoping to get an answer on today, and it might be something that they protect. The more I don't hear from people about that, the more I'm going to kind of, you know, there's going to be some question marks with me, because usually if they're trying, they'll just not address it and hope it goes away, that kind of thing. I couldn't tell. Watching it live, his head hit the ring post, and he's a bloody mess. But
right.
I know Jake Barnett, who was over, .NET staffer, he was over for the show, and he said it's in the hairline, and he was very skeptical like you are. He thought it was a blade job. Blade jobs, it's everything we know about blood and just trading blood like that. Nigel McGuinness has been very outspoken about it. Vince McMahon has referred to it as barbaric, you know, and so if it was a blade job, I am surprised. The only defense I will give them, and for some people it's not going to justify it, and so be it. But it is the main event of WrestleMania. If you're ever going to do it, I guess that would be the place to do it. But I will still be surprised. But I noticed tonight I missed the broadcast team and what they said about Michael Cole. So with Brock Lesnar, I noticed the puffiness and the cuts on the side of his face. Was there a noticeable mark on his forehead at all from when he hit the post or bladed?
That's why I'm not sure about that. But here's something when I was conversing with the fans at Mania last night, I said, "Oh, look, Lesnar's gonna blade," because they did show. I believe you saw it on the television broadcast. I haven't seen the main event yet, but they showed the video package where Roman says, "I know Brock's a man. I know he can bleed. So, and therefore, you know, I'll beat Brock Lesnar," or something like that. But when he said, "I'm going to make Brock Lesnar bleed," oh, okay. So I think blood was in the plans, but whether it was Hardway or not I'm not sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add this before, because what I found interesting, and I mean, at first I really thought it was Hardway, you know, because he bled so quickly, but he might have pre-bladed, because he clearly,
right,
in his hairline tonight, there was a noticeable gash, okay? And it could have been a pre-blade where, you know, he hit the post and it just popped. But what I found fascinating about it last night is they zoomed right in on it. And normally when a guy bleeds Hardway, that camera goes off him. There'll be a trainer with a towel off to the side wiping them off. I mean,
you know,
they
pull
don't want
back to... on that. They don't flaunt it, but it's not like we've seen. I remember they went through that phase where if somebody bled, my God, they'd stop the match even on Raw. You know, they'd basically, the guy would be right there, they'd clean him up, the fans would boo, but they'd put a little gauze or whatever it is they do to get it to stop bleeding, and then things would go back to normal. And it's the WrestleMania main event. and they're short on time as it is. The show was clearly running long. It went very close to the top of the hour. So that part doesn't faze me that they didn't stop and have the trainers tend to him. But I guess the close-ups, I don't know. I guess, Sean, I would have been kind of pissed if all of a sudden they just panicked and started pulling the cameras back because Brock, if it was a legit hard way, he ran in the ring post and, you know, hit something and opened a cut. Wouldn't you have been ticked off as a viewer if they just start pulling the camera back? It's like,
no,
this
Jason,
is the Mania
you're,
main event. Show me what's going on.
You're missing my point. I enjoyed it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I enjoyed it. I mean, it popped me out of my seat. I mean, I could not believe it. I'm glad that they're not doing as much blood as they used to do. But I'm totally, if that was done intentionally, I'm all for it. It was WrestleMania. It was a great ending to the match. It was appropriate. I was a huge fan of it. So don't get me wrong. I'm in total support of it. I'm just astonished that they did it. And it makes me wonder if they're starting to change policy. But a quick comment. I appreciate you letting me get this out. Tonight, I thought that was going to be Roman Reigns' big calling card tonight when they would show the quick snapshots of the match last night, that they would show at least one picture of Lesnar bloodied. And they didn't, of course, because that's where I thought Reigns would hold, you know,
well, they were too busy showing,
hey, look what I did to Brock.
Yeah, they were way too busy showing us, 75,000 shots of Triple H as a Terminator to work that in. Come on.
Please try to find out that. I think he bladed. I really do. But I loved it. Believe me, I thought it was a great way. It brought me back to the old school, and I'm a fan when it's used appropriately, not just like Ric Flair when he used to blade every other for any reason. During a promo, it started blading. So, I was a fan. But listen, Jason, I appreciate you every Monday night. Thank you for that. And maybe we'll sit together at a Viking game one afternoon.
I'd love it, man. It was good to hear from you. And yeah, I don't think there's been a change in policy. It just sounded like something Vince McMahon was very much against. And just, when you start throwing the word barbaric around and then you go back to doing it, and you just open yourself up to, but why isn't it barbaric now from people? And I don't know how much the mainstream media would get on them for this, but there's definitely some vocal critics against blading. And the only thing I can think of, like I say, is if there was a change in policy, it was kind of a one night, it's the Mania main event, okay, we'll do it this one time. Now, if this was like the second match on SmackDown and we saw it and we knew it was like a blade job, it'd be, wow, there's been a change in policy, but not the Mania main event. I don't think that, if we find out it was a blade job, I don't think it's a sign they've changed any policy aside, just making, basically just special circumstances. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to going back and watching the match again. I haven't had a chance, and so maybe it will become a little more obvious there, though I think if it was, we'd be hearing that from people going, oh, I went back and watched the match, and here you can see where he bladed and everything else. It seems like it was too perfect, and maybe it was, but hey, sometimes you run your head into something hard enough, you might bleed. That's just the way it goes sometimes. 515, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Neil in Des Moines.
Neil in Des Moines, is it?
Yes. How you doing?
What's up tonight, man?
Hey, not snoring. Don't be giving people my credit.
It's not you. Okay. Gotcha.
I'm doing great, man. I've read on the blading.
Yeah.
From definitely not reliable sources, but Ref had the blade.
Yeah, I mean, that's not uncommon. I'll tell you, one example of that is Pee Wee Moore, I believe the name was a guy that would blade Sabu during his ECW matches. And sometimes, if you were looking for it, it was very obvious it would happen. So that, the ref, that's very possible the ref had it. I don't know. But so it doesn't, I'm not trying to validate a story, especially when you're saying it's kind of a, when it comes to the sourcing on it. But it's
right,
not,
right.
That was not uncommon back in the day.
And then another non-reliable source I heard was they're putting a big push for JR to maybe come back.
Well, there was something at the NXT show where Triple H said something that kind of got people excited, but I don't know if it was like crystal clear what he was referring to. I know Jim Ross. I wrote last night paging Jim Ross. Barring a last-second thing where they flew him in today, I didn't think it was going to be him, because I actually checked in with him yesterday just to, you know, to let him know I heard good things about his show, basically, just a message on Twitter to him, a direct message, and he said he was, this was before Mania, and he said he was heading back home at that point. So I knew he wasn't still in California. It doesn't mean he couldn't have flown back. I mean, Seth Rollins went to New York and back. So I'd like to see them do more with JR, obviously, but I don't know how realistic it is at this point. But, you know, stranger things have happened. They brought him back before.
Yeah, I just thought maybe with Cole being gone, they might do a month with JR. You know, Cole just needs a vacation. Crap, when's the last time he took a day off, you know? So,
no kidding.
Thought,
well, that's
so,
good. Yeah. The mentality there is you don't take a day off or someone will take your spot. You know, and so he may be old school that way.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. All right, thank you, Jason.
Hey, thank you, Neil. Good to talk to you. Let's see, if you want to join us tonight, 773-897-6321 is the number. If you were on hold and you want to get in, you're going, what the hell? I want to talk, but I can't. Hit one. That simple. Hit one on your phone, and John and I would be happy to chat with you. John, before I forget, where can people find you on Twitter?
Yes, I just reactivated it a couple weeks ago. It's at Little John M. That's LiljohnM. I'm trying to start get back into the Twitter thing after, like, ignoring it for all these years. And I'm pretty young.
Now, if you're like me, John, that means that once you get into something, there must be something new and improved here already. When I got on Twitter, I just figured, okay, there's probably something a million times cooler than this out there already. I'm like, you know, basically Twitter had become MySpace. But so far, I mean, I know there's a bunch of other social media things out there, but Twitter seems to be, you know, hanging in there. People haven't given up and moved on to the new thing yet.
Yeah, WWE tried to do that tout thing that kind of, you know, blew. But yes, Twitter seems to be kicking, because what I was using before that was, of course, Facebook statuses. And yeah, that, you know, I know, because of that, now I'm doing, like, especially with these audios and stuff, I had to get a Twitter so I could get, you know, like, get out there, I guess.
Yeah, and I think my Facebook followers probably hate me or have just forgotten about me. I don't know what it is with Facebook. It's this weird mix of just readers and old friends and like, family. Like, I have an aunt that wants to follow me on Facebook. It's like, no, just no. And so, yeah, it's just I avoid it. I don't even mean to. Yeah, everyone, so if you've been, like, so if you're somebody out there who's like, I tried to friend requested you and you haven't gotten back to me, trust me, there's going to be a day. I don't think it was that long ago I did it, but I'll let them build up for a while, and then I'll just, like, accept, like, 50 of them in one shot. And then just not, I'll be like, and then I'm going to write something. And then I'm tired of Facebook after accepting 50 friend requests, and I don't write anything. So, yeah, if you're on my Facebook page, I'm sorry. 713, who's this? Where are you calling from? 713, are you there? 713 has gone the way of 352 or whoever that was that wasn't speaking. I'm trying 713. We usually have some good 713 folks. What's going on with 713 tonight? Let's try 347. And I will note, this is the last person right now on the line. So if you want to get right on after 347, 773-897-6321 is a number. But 347, the floor is yours. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Chris from New York.
Ah, there he is. I would not allow him to get through the second season finale without hearing from Chris from New York, and I have two or three questions.
I have three questions.
Nice.
Okay. The first one is about Undertaker's final match. If John Cena is Undertaker's final opponent, since the streak has already been broken, do you think the scenario would be that John Cena beats Undertaker and then afterwards they shake hands?
That's a good question, John. I mean, because I always looked at that match when the streak was around. It's like, if they ever want to turn John Cena, that's one way to do it, is somehow he cheats to win. That was really the only scenario I could come up with for where I would end the streak. It had to be a huge payoff like that, something just, you know, that just basically made it worthwhile. And that was the only thing I ever really came up with. But now that the streak's out of the way, I mean, is it knowing Taker's mindset on that, he seems to be a pretty giving guy when it comes to that sort of thing. Do you think Chris's scenario makes sense?
There's a small chance of that happening, but without the streak there, it just lacks an impact. What we saw at WrestleMania last night, they really needed that streak to keep like the crowd interested because, yeah, the streak's gone, and they gave it to Lesnar and not even utilize it because it didn't seem like Lesnar needed it.
And, Chris, I'll say this, too. I think Cena's aware enough. I mean, he obviously he's used to getting cheers, and he's used to getting booed. I think there's part of him that still wants to be respected and by all the fans. And if he beat Undertaker in Texas, I think he knows that wouldn't exactly be a good thing. And he may lose some people along the way with that one. So if that's the match next year, I'm going to lean strongly toward Taker, but, it can change. It's a good question. I'm happy you brought that up. You had two more for us.
The second question is about Rock and Brock Lesnar. Do you think Vince McMahon, the reason why he didn't want Brock to be pinned is he would like to keep Brock as strong as possible so that way the match with Dwayne Johnson next year has a lot more impact, like Dwayne Johnson could be the one to stop the Beast?
If we get it and if they want Rock to go over, I don't know. We know Lesnar's around for 3 more years now. And I don't know what the deal with Rock is. If it's just he's put it out there before that it's just a handshake agreement. I got to imagine it's a little more concrete than that. But John, what do you think? Was that part of the reason that Brock didn't take the pinfall last night?
No, but I believe Brock didn't take the pinfall was to protect him and keep his equity a little bit. A lot of the hype right now for Rock seems to be a mixed tag between Brock and Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie and Triple H, especially with Stephanie McMahon on fire as a heel right now.
Right. Well, and, that's a match that I think makes sense, and if they... For whatever reason, if Rousey doesn't end up doing it, she did. I thought it was interesting on Raw they had the tweet from her saying they're just getting started. So it seems like we may see more with her in WWE. That's kind of cool if that's the case. But it looked to me, Chris, like they were pushing more toward Rock and Hunter. So even if the women aren't involved or even if they're just in the corner, I think that's more likely to be the match right now that they're building to. That, for all I know, it's a match they're building to for SummerSlam, and then they're going to try to kick in with Rock and Brock at WrestleMania, but I just didn't see any sign at WrestleMania or tonight, and I don't think anyone can point to anything, Chris, where it looks like Rock and Brock is a go for sure.
Okay. The last question is actually has to do with the WWE Network. Do you think when Vince McMahon and company started the network, they failed to take into account that there are millions of people, mainly Raw viewers and SmackDown included, there are a lot of people who don't have an interest in the network, not because of price, but because they don't have the time to invest in it. Like, they'll watch a Raw, they'll watch a SmackDown, and maybe buy a pay-per-view, but they don't have an interest in spending hours and hours watching pro wrestling.
Good question. Chris, is that something they need to be very – I'm sorry, John, is that something they need to be very aware of, is that you don't want to make it too daunting? Maybe you don't want to – build up every single thing that's on that network, and you can't with the video on demand. But, is there an audience that it makes sense to really just sell them directly on the pay-per-view events and just kind of focus on that and leave out some of the hype for the other things because they only have so much time, and if you kind of position it as the whole $65 versus $9.99 thing, that might be enough for them.
That's true, and maybe just to do it in phases. Once they get that audience acquired, then move on to try to introducing them to their new content or utilizing that audience to feed their new content to allow them to just, to retain them instead. And then have all the ads on the network, too, to keep them.
I want to thank Chris for the call, and I'll give the number one more time here. We've got some time left to go, and the phone lines are empty, which that's like probably the first time it's happened since we came back. So maybe we're not overstaying our welcome, or maybe we had just by like 16 minutes. I'm not sure, but plenty I keep saying Chris because he was just on. You can tell I'm tired, man. John and I will have plenty to talk about, but if you'd like to join us, you can. 773 897-6321 is the number. And somebody just popped up. Let's go to 914. And then, John, remind me, I want to talk to you about that WWE Network number that came in. I think pretty interesting stuff there. And it looks like maybe 914 dropped off. So, let's see. Do we have a 347? Have we talked to you yet, 347?
Yes.
We did. Okay. There we go. That must have been Chris from before, and I just didn't write his number down. So I think we actually have gone through everybody, and 914 was there, and then he was gone. Just as quick as he got here, he was gone. So the network number, it comes in at 1.3. I believe the actual number, you know, or they were just going with the nice, easy one, but I think it's 1.315 million is the current network subscriber count. Your thoughts on that? Is it higher or lower than you anticipated?
It's like just around what I expected, because remember the only thing we were kind of fearing was worst case WWE would be below 1 million. But no, that's traditional growth and kind of expected because of WrestleMania season. What I'm actually pretty intrigued by is what do you think the WrestleMania pay-per-view buy rate would be?
That, you know, that one, I don't even know. I don't even remember what it did last year. I just assume that number is going to go down every year. And I think you're going to see a substantial drop this year because now it's available all over. You know, all of Canada is basically covered now. Rogers struck those deals up there. So last year it was like, yeah, they had the deal with Rogers, but a huge portion of Canada didn't have access to the network. Now they do. UK, same thing. Ireland, same thing. And so the more this expands into all these countries, the less like the more the international number is going to drop, and I think that was a big part of it. So I don't remember what they did last year, so I can't give you a good answer, but I would be surprised if it's up. If it's up, then if I'm WWE, I guess I go, wow, that's another whole other, you know, all those people we could still reach and try to sell the network to, because they just spent, I mean, you think about it, and what people are spending on a pay-per-view in HD at 60 or 65 bucks, I guess, depending on what your satellite or cable company, well, I guess now just cable company because satellite's not even offering the pay-per-views, but I think the price varies just depending on what they charge. For instance, DirecTV charges 10 bucks, and I know a lot of cable outfits charge 5 for an HD feed, so it does vary a little bit. But at $9.99, I mean, do the simple math there. It's like, if you're paying 60 bucks, that's 6 months of the network if they could just lock you in. So they're going to look at that conversion and think, hey, that's money we can still get. But the number for me, the network number that came out today, a little bit higher than I anticipated. I think I was saying 1.1, what was it, 1.15 to, or 1.15 to 1.2 was kind of the ballpark that I was in a week or two ago when I did Brian Fritz's show. Maybe it wasn't even before that. I know it was before Brock Lesnar made the announcement, and I'd love to know, you know, because that's really when it felt like everyone got excited about Mania. Not everyone. I mean, people are always going to be excited about Mania to some extent, but I just wonder what kind of a surge that had. And I'm not trying to say that alone was enough to get them from the mark that I was at up to what they ended up at, but 1.3, that's a good number. But it wasn't good as far as Wall Street is concerned, because, John, Wall Street, the stock went way down today. What gives there?
Wall Street is strange sometimes. Maybe it might be a delayed effect. You might have to have, like, Vince McMahon holding another conference call or something. Maybe even go into doom and gloom. No, how can you go into doom and gloom with 1.3 million? But I don't know. Maybe do something that will try to spark interest into the, you know, the shareholders. It perplexes me. I'm not sure. Sorry.
Yeah, it dropped $2.43 today, and you can pretty much go back to when the announcement of the new network number came out. I don't know if they expected substantially more, and if so, I mean, I don't know what projections they were looking at. I know WWE's made some pie-in-the-sky projections in the past, that, and they still are when they're talking. I mean, John, do you feel like 3 to 4 million is attainable for them anytime soon?
3 to 4 million.
That's the number they kept throwing around. Is like they're, you know, we still believe we can get to 3 to 4 million subscribers.
Oh wow! I mean, I think 1.5 is a reach because going back to those numbers, WrestleMania is probably going to be their peak. So I don't see. What's interesting is to see what the number will be around SummerSlam if it probably goes down, and if the WWE has done anything terrible between then to lose subscribers.
I'd love to know their definition of long-term, because I think they are light years away from 3 to 4
exactly.
million. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about more than doubling your current number, and I know they're like, oh, we can get into China, and we can get into these places. It'll go great. And maybe they will. I don't know how popular it is there, but it's going to take years of growth to reach that number. But I think where they're at is very good. And I was not a doomsdayer when it came to the network number. I really did think they could get to, and I've said it publicly many times, I thought they could get to the 1 million mark by the end of the year if they got into the UK by that time. And they didn't. But as soon as they did, that's when they put out the announcement, you know, shortly after they got into the UK, we're over 1 million. It was like, I wasn't surprised by that. And I know a lot of people thought, it's not, you know, millions, they're a long ways away from that. But they got there. And so I think they can be pretty happy with this. And Wade, who I'll be doing the PW Torch livecast with tomorrow at 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern, pwtorchlivecast.com, he's pretty good at spotting kind of the BS. He and James Caldwell, who I think James worked in the financial industry for some time, they can usually kind of find some of the quirkiness of WWE's thing. Was there a free month going on, which I think was kind of the gimmick when they reached 1 million. They were still giving 3 months over in Europe. And I don't think there's any of that. You know, I don't know who would have a free month for WrestleMania time. So I don't know that this number is going to be inflated, but I tell you what, if it is, those guys will find out why. They're pretty good at that. And I think this just looks like this is the Mania number. But you're right. I'll be surprised, barring something huge. You know, just if they get Rock and Rousey for SummerSlam, for instance, okay, maybe they can get back to this level or even above it. But I do think the number goes down. I think this is the peak for the year, and then it starts to trickle down from here just because of the way they book and how big of an event Mania is. I do think that this gives them more incentive, though, when it comes to later in the year. I don't feel like we saw it in 2014. It didn't show up in terms of, wow, the creative is so much better. But do you think they're going to have more incentive to not go into that post-SummerSlam funk where they're really going to try to maybe not just, you know, load up the shows and give super shows away, but just try to keep those shows steady and entertaining and keep good buzz so that they don't have this massive drop-off as they get closer to the end of the year?
That's going to be very tough for, you know, this on creative on there, and because they run, you know, throughout the year, so they're almost like a cyclical company in the sense that they are going to have valleys, and their valleys get very deep. But also going back to number being 3 to 4 million is if we were going to believe that's their long-term goal, how many WrestleManias is it going to take to get to 3 to 4 million, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's just so much of it. Is there another boom period? And I mean,
exactly.
That can, you know, that's what they need. I don't like if you had 10 WrestleManias at the pace they're on now. Even I don't think they get there. I think they've got a huge portion of their audience. I mean, there's let's face it, there's a huge gap between 3 and 4 million. 3 million is a lot more attainable than 4 million is too. I mean, it's they're at 1.13 right now, and so it sounds like, you know, when you say 3 to 4 million, there's a huge gap there, considering they're you know, barely over that gap in the number of subscribers they currently have. I guess with the programming, though, my question for you would be, what's jumping out? They have announced some new programming that they're going to be debuting on the network. I know Diva Search is one of them. Can't wait for the return of Diva Search. But was there anything in the programming lineup that they threw out there that grabbed your attention?
No, I can't even. Okay, no, it's starting to come back to me because they even announced some at Mania. No, the only thing that kind of stands out is they're going to turn Jericho's podcast into a regular monthly Live with Chris Jericho thing, in essence replacing the Stone Cold podcast, as it seems. But no, they also have that TVMA, like South Park, Seth Green type show, Jerry Springer, some other show that they're a show called Swerved. It made me think of Vince Russo, but they didn't even say what that show was. They just said it was going to be, it's like some next generation, I don't know. But no, nothing really stood out so far, but at least, okay, and then the Diva Search. But yeah, no, nothing really stood out as like eye-catching. But what I do see that as is at least they're adding content that's not just like clip shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, very true. I mean, there's some of that in there, too. I'm looking at the list now, and the big one to me was at the bottom. But we'll get to that in a second. But like Unfiltered with Renee Young and Culture Shock mm-hmm. with Corey Graves, the list.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there's stuff like that, and there's still Jericho's podcast. I really like the way Steve Austin conducted himself in those interviews with Triple H and Vince McMahon. Jericho does a good job with his podcast too. I just hope that we don't have to hear him play the what's the instrument, the cowbell or whatever it is he's playing all the time, and then the character he does based on his janitor. But I don't think we'll have to. I think this will be pretty straightforward like the Austin one was. When Jericho gets down to business, I enjoy it more. But the one that jumps out to me is NXT TakeOver Live airing monthly on Wednesdays. Your thoughts on this? Is this monthly, is it a positive for NXT? Is it a negative? I mean, is monthly just too much right now to do live specials?
Exactly. So if they do this monthly thing, so does that end the whole... how long are these monthly specials going to be?
2 hours.
Say? Oh, it's going to be
two hours.
So they're takeovers. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's the exact wording they used was takeover. NXT
yes.
TakeOver Live airs monthly on Wednesdays.
Because I think what that actually does, it is sort of because they had something going with their whole quarterly thing where it's a special event every single show. What I'm a little afraid of is... they can deliver on every single show. Because what's a good thing about those quarterly shows is, like, you're going into there wondering if they could, like, really pick it up, but they always deliver, but that's because they don't run, they don't oversaturate their content with, like, monthly things. I think when you're messing with a monthly schedule, then you're starting to sort of make, like, B pay-per-views when they made that a thing. When you had all those like useless like capital punishments and stuff like that. So it's an interesting thing, but yes, what I do believe is NXT should be more of a hook towards the network, but WWE hasn't been promoting it as they should be as a hook for the network. They sort of like get proud with their whole countdowns or quirky things and stuff like that.
I was just going to go to 559 and then he dropped off as a caller. So we're not going to 559. It grabbed my attention. Like my first thought was like, did somebody screw up really live? Because I remember Triple H, it came up in the conference call, and I don't know if I asked him but it's something that I'm sure he's been asked a million times. If it wasn't me, it was somebody else about doing more of these. Is he content with doing quarterly? And he made it seem like he was for now. And so I don't know if he had a change of heart, if there was some pressure internally to do more with this. Right now, I think it strikes me as a positive for viewers because I think they have the talent roster to pull this off. Creatively, they've done a good job. You do, I mean, everything you're saying, it makes sense. They could get spread thin. They lose that special feel to them. But I think it'll be okay now. What I worry about is long-term when are they able to replace the Finn Balors and the Sami Zayns? And right now they have this all-star crew of talent. You know, it's mm-hmm. like it really is the best of the indies out there. And at some point, do they bring enough of those talent in that, they kind of the cupboard's getting a little bare, and then you have to start hoping that some of the athlete types that you bring in that don't have the indie background, they're starting to click. You know, that's going to be a test for them long term. Once this current wave of they brought in everybody that from around the world, Hideo Itami's, and if they can continue to do that, then these specials will be great. And there's nothing stopping them from going, okay, we did this, and now we're pulling back on it. I'm looking forward to it, but it is a little, you know, there's definitely pros and cons to this, John. I'm definitely on the same page with you there. I'm looking forward to talking with Zach Zimmerman about that. He covers NXT as closely as anybody. He does it for us on Wednesdays on ProWrestling.net, and I'm going to check to see what his schedule is. Hopefully we can get together for .net Weekly this week, but with his schedule, I never know for sure. But he and I will definitely get together at some point and discuss this NXT situation. John, anything else from you before we call this a night? We're down to the wire now. Just a couple of minutes left in the second season of ProWrestling.net Live.
No, not much. If unless you have any questions for my experience at Mania.
Well, I guess what disappointed you? Let's go out on a downer.
Okay.
And you've got to keep it brief. We have 90 seconds left.
Okay,
but I mean, is there something?
No,
anything from the experience where you're just like, this wasn't what I'd hoped it would be?
No, I mean, everything was pretty good. Like, the only one thing that sort of deflated the crowd at one point was when Triple H won the crowd went silent. Like, no one knew really what happened, and it took the IC, like, people congratulating Daniel Bryan and Ric Flair acknowledging the crowd chance to, and the yes chance to bring things back. But overall, it was a pretty solid show.
Well, that's good. I'm happy you had a good WrestleMania experience, and I know Will really enjoyed himself out there as well. And hopefully either I'm going to make it to the one in Dallas or they're going to come here to Minneapolis, and I've got to make that one. Even if I move like I want to, I'll have enough friends and family that I'll be able to come back for that. John, thank you so much. Give your Twitter address one more time before I wrap this up.
That's LittleJohnM at Twitter.
All right, thank you so much, John. You can check out his TNA Impact reviews, usually up on Saturday morning sometime. He's doing a hell of a job with that. It's been fun to have him on the show as we've gone forward here throughout the season. Thank you to everybody who's chatted. Thank you to everyone who's called in. And thank you to everybody who just listened. And as I said, you know, it's the end of the Monday schedule is here for now, like the weekly schedule. It doesn't mean we're not going to do some specials along the way. I really enjoy the live experience. I enjoy interacting with you guys, and hopefully we'll get some of you all to convert to .NET membership. But either way, thank you very much. Take care.